Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Hello, I'm Natalia Shpilova Said. I'm a host of New Books in Literary Studies, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. I'm delighted to speak today with Tamara Hundurova, author of the Post-Chernobyl Library, Ukrainian Postmodernism of the 1990s, published by Academic Studies Press in October of 2019. Tamara Hundurova is chair of the Department of Theory of Literature, Institute of Literature, the National Academy of Sciences of Ukraine. She's also one of the associates at Harvard Ukrainian Research Institute. Tamara Hundurova has published a number of articles and books on modernism, postmodernism, feminism, postcolonial studies, and history of Ukrainian literature, including Transit Culture, The Symptoms of the Postcolonial Trauma, Kitsch and Literature, The Travesties, Femina Melancholica, Sex and Culture in the Gender Utopia by Olga Kobylyanska, and many others. Hello, Tamara. Congratulations on this recent edition of the Post-Chernobyl Library.
Hello.
In your book, you present a very detailed analysis of how Ukrainian postmodernism has taken shape. You take into account the international conversation about postmodernism while delineating some specificities of Ukrainian postmodernism literature. On the one hand, the title of your publication overtly gestures towards one of the points which can be considered essential for the formation of Ukrainian postmodernism, the Chernobyl tragedy. On the other hand, however, as your book demonstrates, this conversation embraces not only post-Chernobyl events, but pre-Chernobyl developments as well. So could you detail the genesis of your project as well as the origins of Ukrainian postmodernism? And the latter probably may be rather blurry and complicated, given the fact that this topic includes the Soviet context of Ukrainian literature. Nevertheless, how can we locate the history of Ukrainian postmodernism, not only in the continuum of global and international postmodernisms, but local specificities which at times may gesture towards the incongruity of postmodernism?
I started to work on my project in the later 1990s, and my book came out in 2005. Why I started to write about this period, about Chernobyl, and how Chernobyl influenced the Ukrainian literature of this time. First of all, because I was a witness of this very dramatic, very crucial change in Ukrainian literature, Ukrainian culture after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And at the same time, this change in this literature, new wave, there are different names for this period in Ukrainian literary criticism. I like it very much, this literature, because I feel, first of all, that it is something absolutely new in Ukrainian culture. It was the period, it was the literature, it was the cultural experience that showed that Ukrainian culture got some coordination with the European and world literary process. And Ukrainian writers started to write in absolutely new way. and they feel free to take different devices, different literary methods, different style. They like it to do some experiment in literature. And maybe the most important thing is that they started to write about the trauma, of being a post-Soviet person. And it was a very painful period because it was not about the collapse of the Soviet Union, or it was not only about the former Soviet time, but because but it was about the experience of being something other, not the Soviet one. And I liked it very much. And as we know, it was a period of perestroika. And literature responds very, very, very intensively to this period. Many new writers, new texts that was unknown or prohibited before in Ukrainian literature, for instance, from the 1920s, were published. And today it is even hard to imagine that, for instance, we didn't have a chance to read, for instance, Vladimir Vinichenko, Mykola Filovey, or many others, or Pantelimon Kulish, or mentioned about Drahomanov and so on. So Ukrainian literature during the Soviet time was in some way castrated, I would say. Many very interesting texts and names, as I said, were unknown. So it was a kind of synchronization of Ukrainian literary process with the European one. And and I also, it seems to me, this period was in some way it coordinates with the period with the post-colonial situation. At the time, new literary series, for instance, new names of the foreign of the Western philosopher and thinkers like Jameson or Baudrillard or Derrida, they came to Ukraine, and it was a period when translation and creation of a new situation coexist, and so it was a different aspects that I was interested in, and it to my mind it caused this appearance of a new literature at the time. You write that this topic includes the Soviet context of Ukrainian literature, and it was very, very important because, as we know, during the Soviet time, many genres, many styles, many names, not only names, and for instance, but even styles like, or periods like literary avant-garde or literary modernism, they were excluded from the literary history of Ukrainian literature as well, from Russian literature and from the other also. And for Ukrainian literature, it was very crucial, it was very important because Ukrainian appears in a situation of some semi-colonial or colonial situation. And as we know, even during the 19th century, Ukrainian Ukrainian literature was limited only to so-called vernacular style and to the low level. And many Ukrainian elites, they use, of course, Russian literature, and they contributed to the Russian imperial literature as well. So even a notion of that Dmytro Chezhevsky called, incompleteness of Ukrainian literature, incompleteness, nepovnota of Ukrainian literature. So that it means that Ukrainian literature, to his mind, didn't develop some style of high culture, only literature of burlesque, of vernacular, for instance, Kotlyarevshchina, and so on. And At the beginning of 20th century, in Ukrainian history, in Ukrainian literature, a very important period started to develop. Was oriented toward creation of some of high culture, of modern culture. We know Ukrainian futurism. We know about many interesting experiments in Ukrainian literature of the 1920s. Later during the Soviet time, this period, maybe even all period, Rostrilian Vidrojenia or Shot Renaissance, was prohibited to even to mention. And many people who grew up in the Soviet times, they did not have this opportunity to read Ukrainian literature of a high quality, high Western quality, because in 1920s, for instance, Ukrainian literature was on the same level like French literature or German literature. It was there is no border between this literature. They created a new one context of literature and the literary experience. And the end of 20th century, when we are going to our topic of 1990s, at the time, Ukrainian literature met a very, 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 very special, very important challenge to fill in the gap in Ukrainian literature that was created before, to develop and to subvert some taboos that were established in Ukrainian literature. And all of this, if you, for instance, also add disappointment in a kind of modernization in the Soviet style, for instance, yeah, with this optimism of socialist optimism, with this pathos of a builder of a new society and so on and so on. So this all created some very very interesting complex of idea, of feeling, of sensuality, that it seems to me also we can also call a postmodern situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the post Chernobyl library, you argue that the Chernobyl tragedy contributed not only to the reconsideration of ideological paradigms, which you probably mentioned to some extent in your previous answer, but also to the reimagining and rediscovery of imaginary and geographical space. Could you tell us a few words about how the Chernobyl disaster reshaped literary and geographical maps? How did it affect the individual on a local, national, and global level? And in your book, you also elaborate on apocalyptic themes that prevail in the literature of the end of the 20th century. So what does this effect signal and accomplish in terms of the individual's ability or probably inability to deal with traumas?
I would say that at least three very important aspects of this situation in Ukraine we can describe. First of all, the situation of post-totalitarian condition. This is a far way to the Soviet time. This is a subverting of the socialist codes. This is a protest against, this optimistic feeling and subject. And next aspect is I would call postcolonial, because as I told before, it was very important for Ukrainian literature, for Ukrainian culture to be free, to feel free, to subvert some colonial limits that was established in Ukrainian literature. And the next is very important aspect is I would call post-apocalyptical. And this aspect is very close connected to Chernobyl disaster. Chernobyl disaster or even Chernobyl catastrophe. And Chernobyl, in some cases, Chernobyl was a very, very symbolic case in Ukraine in this situation, because it's caused the beginning of perestroika, as for instance Gorbachev told later. And Chernobyl also destroyed this Soviet type of modernization, of technological progress, for instance, also. And Chernobyl also and subvert this global big narrative, like Lyotard, for instance, college. Because it wasn't about the totality, it wasn't about the future, very optimistical future, but it was about the saving of each person, of each family, and it touched everybody. And very, very big, small narratives, instead of a big Soviet narratives, we see how these small narratives of family, of family contact, of a human relationship started to create. And it was very important aspect that helped to overcome this post totalitarian trauma. And the post-apocalyptic situation, it seems, because Chernobyl in some way was perceived like a nuclear apocalypse. And we know after that in many science fiction and science literature, Chernobyl became a symbol of nuclear apocalypses. And Chernobyl also show something very strange. For instance, he changed our perception of nature, our perception of the life. Because on the one hand, you feel that nature that is very close to you, that you feel like a familiar with it and you love it, but it became something strange and even dangerous for you. You can touch the flower, you can touch the grass, because it was irradiated. And you started to see that also radiation was invisible. So this is some changing in our mind, how to feel something which is not visible. And it seems to me Chernobyl it gives some break in our thinking, in our consciousness, because it opens the door for virtuality. Mm-hmm. And how Chernobyl shape our perception of time and space for me is very important. The Chernobyl give us a feeling of hybridity of real and virtual, what is natural even what is not natural, what visible and what is not visible. On the one hand. On the other hand, Chernobyl was linked with many apocalyptical thinking. And it seems to me that it was a feeling that this apocalyptic thinking that predominate all perception of Chernobyl. It was about... It was many people spoke about the end of human life, about nature, of the end of Ukraine, of spirituality, of something. It was like an end of history, to cite Fukuyama term, and about the end of all universe. And you know, in Ukrainian literature as well, we have very often a kind of crying, victimization. We all are victims. We have so hard time. We are everybody oppress us, and so on and so on. So in this situation, the end of the Soviet Union and in the situation of post-Chernobyl apocalyptical thinking, the feeling of the end of the world can be the main feeling, but The situation of catastrophe, and it was a catastrophe, the people became ironic. And it seems to me it is a very important aspect of the situation in Ukraine that the people started to laugh, started to ironize about themselves, about Chernobyl even, about the lack of information, about this technological catastrophe, about themselves also. And it seems to me it helped to switch from the apocalyptical consciousness to ironic consciousness. And what it was in this milieu, it seems to me, this post-modern consciousness, post-modern situation in Ukrainian started to be born. Mm-hmm. And it was also very important also that Chernobyl, as you know, was create a kind of zone, Chernobyl zone. And you know very famous movies by Tarkovsky, Stalker. It was also futuristic movies about the zone. Mm-hmm. And zona and zones, it was a new dimension. It was of the space of space in itself, and many zone penetrated by radiation, for instance, they become a metaphor of a new situation, of a new feeling of time and space. And it resonates. It's funny, but it resonates with the beginning of a kind of decentralization in Ukrainian literary and cultural context. And we see, for instance, that in many different places, for instance, Kharkiv, Odessa, Chernihiv, Kyiv, Ivano-Frankivsk, Zhytomyr, and so on, a new literary group, a new creative life begins, a new group was organized. So I feel like Chernobyl, and I perceive Chernobyl like a stimulus, like a metaphor, so we can say, of this changing of space and time and so on.
Mm-hmm. Postmodernism has its set of classical features: plurality, citations, relativity, lack of certainty, multiple truths, carnivalesque nature, masks as masquerades, and so on and so forth. So I'm wondering about those features which we can think of as classical or characteristic of Ukrainian postmodernism. Are there any features that are particularly favored by Ukrainian postmodernists? And I think that the last question also invites some sort of continuation. Do Ukrainian writers call themselves, or do they like to be called, postmodernists? And would you mention just a few names and their works which can be defined as postmodern?
The main characteristic trait and peculiar trait of Ukrainian postmodernism is carnivalization. Mm-hmm. Even this situation in many Ukrainian literary critics and authors as well, they identify like carnival, postcolonial carnival. And it was a theory of Bakhtin, Mikhail Bakhtin, about carnivalization that was very popular at the time in Ukrainian, in Ukrainian elite. And it gave a clue to how to do with this traumatic situation, post-Chernobyl situation in Ukraine, and also post-totalitarian situation. And many authors the biggest representative of postmodernism in Ukraine was a group Bubabu, burlesque, balagan, buffonade, how they called this themselves. And its name also refers to baroque literature. Baroque period in Ukraine was very productive, And even in 1980s, many authors call themselves a new Baroque literary trend, a new Baroque group. So it was this Baroque Carnaval, post-colonial, post-modern. These all notions were crossed on, mm-hmm. on this situation. And when we are talking about the most productive trait, the most productive features of Ukrainian postmodernism, I would say this is a kind of heteroglossia. During the Soviet time, the question of literature, of language, of Ukrainian language was very, very important. Mm-hmm. During the Soviet time, we all know about this unique Russian language, the language of communication, and many national languages they meet some difficulties in developing, and even Ukrainian literature, literary language became kind of sterile. There are no slang, no different styles. It was eliminated from the official Ukrainian language. So what these first postmodern writers did, they bring many voices, many citations, citation of different authors of different language. They created a kind of very very interesting mixture, hybridity. We all know about literature written in Surzhyk. This is a contamination of Ukrainian and Russian vernacular language, and even it was kind of stylization of not puristic language, but language brutal, vital, productive. So this aspect is very, very important. And also a multiplication of character. Instead of so-called total heroic pathos of the Soviet time, we have many multiplication of mask, of voices, of hypostasis of hero. So the character became polymorphic. I mentioned, for instance, novels by Yuri Andruhovich. His hero Stas Perfetsky in roman Perversia, he has hundred faces, hundred of masks, mm-hmm. and in each situation he is different. And for instance, also very symptomatic work for Ukraine in the time. This is a novel by Oksana Zdabushko, mm-hmm. The field note from Ukrainian sex. Even the name Ukrainian sex was a kind of challenge to the existing situation and to the Soviet literature. And Oksana Zdabushko also gives us a very, very different multiplying body of contemporary women who can be all intellectual and also a kind of bitch and prostitute and so on. So her heroine speaks different language. It was also very, very important. And the other aspect was creation of a kind of parallel histories. What would be if Ukrainian history were developed in another way? What would be if some Ukrainian hero, national hero, also can behave or have different fate and so on? So this is an open end. This is ironic play, parody. So all of these features become very important. And also I would say also about intermediality. In 1990s, the beginning of a new Ukrainian literature coexisted with a very interesting public fest, for instance, like Червона Рута. This is a song festival, but I would say that literature and writers, they not stay in close house in the room, but they go to the street. So they became public, and they like it to contribute and to borrow some devices from theater performance, because they became performance. They become rock musicians, they poet and rock musicians at the same time. They try to subvert the model code that was official in the Soviet time. For instance, the Soviet poet laureate, because it was the time, the Ukrainian writer of the time, mostly they were young. They opposed to the old Soviet system, to the old party leaders and so on. So they like it to be free, they like it to play, they like it to gather together and to create something absolutely new. It was very also important to situate themselves not only in Ukraine but also in connection to the world, to the Europe. For instance, Yuri Andruhovich is a very close friend of Andrzej Stasiuk from Poland, famous Polish writer in this time. So they have, for instance, one book in two essays about my Europe by Stasiuk and my Europe by Andruhovich. And this is a kind of dialogism between Ukrainian culture, Ukrainian society, Ukrainian literature, and European was also very important aspect of this situation.
Mm-hmm. So following the description that you provided for the development of Ukrainian literature after the Chernobyl disaster and after these postmodern aspects started to be more visible or tangible even, can we say that in this regard postmodernism somehow contributed to the either restoration of national literatures or to the development of national literatures? And you also put Ukrainian literature in the global context, in the world context as well, and you kind of delineated this relationship between Ukraine as a literary topos or as a geographical topos with both the West and East.
Mm-hmm. After the Soviet Union collapse, the border didn't exist, Ukrainian writer also they have their very open to the West. And many of them have a possibility to travel, to meet different people, to be acquainted with different languages, they become translated into another language. For instance, Andruhovich and Polish literature, very very interesting aspect. Or for instance, Zabushko and her global. Presentation of her book that was published at the same time in Ukraine and in Germany, for instance. When we return to Chernobyl, I like very much the thought by Baudrillard, who said that after Chernobyl, the Berlin Wall didn't exist, does not exist, because these clouds of radiation that was that went to the West and across the border. But, it opened the feeling and it gives a feeling that we are unique, that we are in one situation. This is globalization. So Ukraine became a part of the global world. And that is so important for me was to show that postmodernism is not only the Western phenomenon, but it also a phenomenon that is connected to Ukrainian situation. Of course, we can speak about different modernism, but it is normal because we can speak also about different modernisms as well. Yes, but one post-colonial situation is in, скажем, in America or Germany or Poland, and but in this on post-Soviet space also, postmodernism give very strong impact and it gives tools to deal with trauma, to recreate it, to change it into ironic behavior, to read it and to have the same model of feeling like, for instance, in Kundera or Barthes or Eco or somebody else, gives stimulus for recreation of national tradition, of national culture, because it the writer who was also postmodernist they took some alternative tendency in Ukrainian literature that was not developed during the Soviet time, for instance, and they started to develop it. In Ukrainian literary tradition, Ukrainian literature became much rich, much complicated, many diverse. This diversity of Ukrainian national tradition, it seems to me, is very, very important aspect of what postmodernists did in Ukrainian literature. You asked it about the name, how they called themselves. Mm-hmm. Do they agree to be called postmodernists? It was of course, like in many other countries, but not simple question, because the new wave of literature in 1990s was called, and they called themselves a new Baroque, new avant-garde, new modernism. Buba Beast, the name of the group Buba Boo, and Buba Beast became like a title for all this new generation. What is also very interesting, it seems to me it's a very peculiar characteristic of Ukrainian literary situation of this time, the writers started to introduce themselves by generation. For instance, generation of 90, of 80s, of 90s, of 200s. Looked for some unity, for some cooperation in inside of this generation, so sometimes they rejected the title, general title, for instance, like postmodernist, but as they wanted to be девятностники or восьмидесятники, двухтысячники. But it seems to me, it's my thought that 1990s, a beginning of the 21st century, this is the most productive period of literary Ukrainian literary postmodernism. But later the situation changed, I would also I would like to mention that postmodernism also, like in many other different countries, have opponents also. Postmodernism was criticized by Ukrainian so-called national patriotic audience, patriotic representative, for being so ironist, for destroying of national sacral values, for their revisionism and so on. Postmodernism, especially the most important representative of it, postmodernism, like Buba Bista, Andruhovich, Irvanets, Neborak, and Zabushko also, Jadan, it seems to me they did a very important role in Ukrainian literature, in Ukrainian society of this time. Mm-hmm.
And probably in terms of the Ukrainian language as well, because, well, you mentioned Surzhik. You mentioned Surzhik, and for American students here, Surzhik is a very interesting phenomenon, and they always ask, what is it? What is this? Can you learn Surzhik? I always say that you cannot learn Surzhik.
You can speak Surzhik.
Yeah, you can speak Surzhik, but you cannot learn Surzhik. But a Ukrainian postmodern literature probably gives a very unique picture, very unique vision of what this phenomenon is.
Yes, you mentioned Surzhik and Bogdan Zsoldak, who published his book on Surzhik. In this time, some interesting and funny things, for instance, like Sud, how to say Sud? Sud nad Surzhikom.
Judgment.
It was theatrical performance when a different part of audience in the theater they fight for Surzhik or against Surzhik or should be Surzhik allowed to use in literature and so on. So it was also performance, performance and. As well as many other action of Ukrainian postmodernists were also performative. Mm-hmm. They got fun, and it was also a new phenomenon in Ukrainian literature. Most of their audience were young people, and these young people who never spoke, for instance, Ukrainian, or who didn't like Ukrainian literature because it was rustical, rustical literature. But when they come to listen to this poet, this performance, they loved it very much, and they started to be Ukrainian. They started to read Ukrainian literature, to love Ukrainian literature, to write Ukrainian literature, to speak Ukrainian literature. So this is very interesting phenomenon that Ukrainian postmodernists also were Ukrainization, were a leader of Ukrainization of this young generation.
So Sud nad Surzhikom, we can say like Surzhik trial, or they took Surzhik to court.
It was in the Molody Theater, young theater, and it was a trial on Surzhik. Uh-huh. Yes, it was a special action in Ukraine.
Maybe our final question, how would you describe the current stage of Ukrainian literature? You mentioned a little bit about how Ukrainian postmodernism changed, after probably 1990s.
It seems to me Ukrainian postmodern writer or the writers who use postmodern techniques, postmodern style, who brought this ironic behavior, because it seems to me they came and bring into Ukraine a kind of ironic behavior that also lead to a new social and cultural behavior. So it was that generation that later came to Maidan, for instance. And this is a kind of social cultural impact of Ukrainian literary postmodernism. And we are talking about the literature itself. During the time, the 1990s, Ukraine created a kind of popular culture, because it's to that time before Ukraine in the Soviet time, you also didn't have developed popular culture in genre and so on. And starting from 1990s, a new popular culture in Ukraine was created. It is many genres, detective, retro detective, and literature of travel, and females writing, and many others. It seems to me the period of Ukrainian postmodernism was a kind of school for many Ukrainian writers, how to write to be readable. Mm-hmm. how to write and to be similar to the other writers in the world. And now I was told, for instance, that many books by Sergei Zhadan or Yuri Andrukhovich and Oksana Zabushka, when their works are translated into German, for instance, or Poland, many people abroad, many readers abroad, they feel that the feeling and the characters represented here are the same like they are. So this is blurring of borderline, crossing the borderline, to feel and to see the other like a person who is not your enemy, but who are the same like you. It seems to me the impact that postmodern period in Ukrainian literature give us. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Tamara, for this wonderful and fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for your book and for your research that contributes so significantly to the conceptualization of Ukrainian writing, not only in local terms, but in global terms as well. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your question.
Today, I spoke with Tamara Hunterova about the most recent English language edition of her book, The Post-Chernobyl Library, Ukrainian Postmodernism of the 1990s, published by Academic Studies Press in October of 2019. Thank you for listening to New Books in Literary Studies, a podcast channel on the New Books Network.